Yo, what's up? It's Sean Daniels. Just checking in on this pretty good Wednesday morning. Hope everybody else is having a good morning. I just like to say a few things about the channel. Like, you know, I'm kind of in a developmental stage. I'm kind of hoping to do a lot more with this thing. So there are going to be some days that I'm going to have a lot of content. Some days that I'm going to have very little content because I've still got personal stuff to do outside of the station, so some days I'm going to have more time to dedicate to this station than others, but I hope that everybody will stick around with me and check out all the content that I put out there, and I hope that you guys all enjoy it, and I really hope to do some pretty nice things with this station. I mean, I plan on doing podcasts once I actually start getting more into this. I plan on doing recaps of Raw and SmackDown and quite possibly NXT, maybe 205 Live, I don't know. It depends on how much time I have. You know, I'd love it if you guys call in. I'd love it if you guys, you know, just supported the station in any way. Scoop Slam would really appreciate it. Like, I just really hope to do a lot of big things, and I am hoping to develop a lot of big things in this developmental stage of the channel. So, that being said, you know, keep it locked on Scoop Slam, and I'll try to put more content up as I have the time to. But I've got the next 2 days off, so I'll try and see what I can put on the station, and, you know, I hope you guys enjoy it. So keep it locked on to Scoop Slam, and have a good day. So this isn't going to be a full Raw recap, but I mean, this is going to be a couple of notable moments. Of course, you know, Roman Reigns came out at the beginning of the show and started cutting a promo about his new Intercontinental Championship that he got last week. And he basically just delivered a very, very Cena-ish line by saying, "You want it? Stand up and take it." Which is pretty much just like Cena saying, "You want some? Come get some." So, I mean, it would have been nice to see a little bit more originality on that front from Roman. But then again, he might be somewhat related to The Rock, but he certainly doesn't have The Rock's vocal skills. But that being said, I mean, I guess it was a decent promo for the most part. He went so far as to issue an open challenge for the belt, a challenge which would be answered by Elias, so they would have their match later in the night. And of course, Roman comes out on top, because they're not going to have Roman lose the championship that he just won on Monday Night Raw, the first week of him having it. And with, you know, with Roman winning the Intercontinental Championship, that makes him a Grand Slam champion, which is something that Seth Rollins has yet to accomplish, but I'm sure knowing the fact that Seth Rollins was the WWE's golden boy for the better part of a year or so, I mean, I'm sure the WWE still has some pretty big plans for Seth Rollins, so I'm sure Seth Rollins will still have his time. But aside from Roman Reigns winning or retaining his championship, we may or may not be closer than ever to a possibly broken, a deleted. Matt Hardy might be closer to being more broken than ever. And it will be marvelous and delightful. But right now, Matt's just planting the seeds, but I'm pretty sure that those seeds will grow into a very, very delightful broken plant. And everybody got the match that we've been waiting for a while, because everybody's been clamoring over a Bray Wyatt and Matt Hardy confrontation, and you know that this is not going to be the only one that they have. I'm really hoping that this is the start of a nice feud, because I've been waiting for a Bray Wyatt Matt Hardy feud for a while. So if this is like the start of broken or woken or whatever moniker that the WWE wants to slap on it, because, you know, unless they've come to terms with an agreement with Global Force Impact, it is unclear as to whether or not Matt can continue to use the broken gimmick, even though it pretty much is his intellectual property, but that's also another story. So, the seeds might have been planted for a broken Matt, or a woken Matt, whatever you want to call it. But we got to move right along. Paige and her new group seem to be in full effect by subsequently overpowering Sasha and Mickie James and Bayley. But am I the only one who... I'm happy with Paige's return, but am I the only one who thinks that their tag team name is... Alright, so the thing that I was gonna say was their tag team name was slightly unfortunate, because a lot of things that I had read and I had seen a couple of videos basically just stating the fact that their tag team name was just their first initials, which was PMS for Paige, Mandy, and Sonya. And I was gonna say that that's just unfortunate because A, it's slightly unoriginal, and B, there's an obvious menstruation joke in there somewhere. But upon actually doing further research, I found out that Paige's new group is called Absolution, and that's actually kind of cool. So there's nothing unfortunate about that name. So we will go right along into the meat of that segment. And so basically Paige started the women's revolution and she's jealous. That's why she has Mandy and Sonya as her tag team partners, because I'm guessing they're gonna have her and Mandy and Sonya, they're gonna build them up to be a very dominant force in the women's division on Raw. The only thing that I will say is unfortunate about this is you pretty much have Paige, a goth chick, Mandy, a cheerleader, and Sonya, an MMA fighter, and not even a day apart from them debuting and Paige returning, SmackDown also has their call-ups, and I've already talked about this a couple days ago, but SmackDown's call-ups were virtually the same thing when you think about it, because Ruby Riott, who now has two T's in her name, and I don't understand it, but anyway, Ruby Riott, a goth, and Sarah Logan, MMA, and Liv Morgan, who I guess falls under the cheerleader category. So it is, SmackDown literally got almost the same exact thing, aside from the fact that, like, not taking anything away from, like, Ruby Riott's accomplishments on NXT, but Raw definitely has a leg up here, because they have Paige, and I'm sure there's a few videographic reasons as to why Paige and, well, Paige couldn't come back out on SmackDown instead of Raw, but I think at the time being, Paige being on Raw will probably be for the best. It is unfortunate that Paige doesn't get to be on SmackDown, in my opinion, just because, you know, I'm more of a SmackDown guy than I am a Raw guy, but I think it should be interesting nonetheless. So, Paige and her tag team of Absolution is doing a pretty good job of establishing themselves as top heels in the women's division on Raw. And the one match that I am salivating for at the moment, and I'm sure it would probably be WrestleMania worthy, would be Paige versus Asuka. And I am waiting so much for that match. I can't wait for it to actually happen. But with that, we got to move right along, and we're going into Jason Jordan versus Kane. Alright, so Jason Jordan and Kane. So first of all, Jason asks for another opportunity from his father, and subsequently challenges Kane. I think that's probably one of the worst things that you could ever want to do, but Kane's also not as much of what he used to be. Kane, I wish Kane would go back. Kane needs one last dominant monster run before he hangs up the boots. And, you know, it's coming, because Kane has been wrestling since 97, if I remember correctly. That's a pretty long time, and Kane's had virtually very little time off. I mean, aside from, he's had a few moments where he'd leave for, like, a couple months to film, like, See No Evil or See No Evil 2, or maybe if he had a few medical mishaps. Aside from that, and aside from his recent bid for running for mayor of Knox County, Tennessee, Kane has really pushed through and hasn't had a whole lot of time off while he's been wrestling for the WWE. And that I applaud him for, because Kane's actually one of my favorite wrestlers. So the fact that Kane has lasted as long as he has is, it makes me feel really good, because I like Kane. I like watching Kane wrestle. In my personal opinion, Kane and Goldust have one of the best throat thrusts in the business. I love watching Kane's throat thrust, and I love watching Goldust do his throat thrust. I don't know what it is about that move, but Kane and Goldust do a great job at performing that move. But anyway, Kane goes on to demolish Jason Jordan. So finally, Finn Balor comes out, and then Kane gets disqualified by using a chair very early in the match, and we get another Kane beatdown, this time towards Finn Balor. And finally, Braun Strowman shows up and runs off Kane with a couple of moves that were supposed to look cool, but, and he also did the same thing to Kane that Kane did to him, like, last week with the chair. So I like how you had to have Finn Balor come out and save Jason Jordan, but then you had to have Braun Strowman come out and save Finn Balor. Like, aren't we supposed to be trying to build up Finn Balor a little bit stronger than having another bigger guy come out and save Finn? Like, there's no doubt in my mind that... Well, like I said, there's no doubt in my mind that Finn could have taken Kane, but... Maybe they're just trying to illustrate that human Finn, regular Finn, or whatever you want to call it, isn't as strong as Demon Finn, which, I mean, I guess is true, but not really. I mean, I guess it's true by WWE standards, in the sense that Finn Balor really usually only does anything noteworthy when he's in demon form. But aside from that, I wasn't too, surprised or shocked that they're pushing Braun Strowman the way they are. Let's see. Rollins defeats Cesaro. Samoa Joe sleeps Titus Worldwide. Gallows and Anderson are doing Christmas ads, so they're turning them into DX. Let's see. Asuka had a pretty sweet stare down with Absolution, as if they were Christmas presents waiting to be opened on Christmas Day. And she also applied a very sick armbar to Dana Brooke. So Asuka's as big a force as ever, so I like I said, I am salivating for that Asuka Paige match. And then you have Rich Swann defeating Akira Tozawa, Noam Dar, and Arya Davari. And, you know, it's your typical cruiserweight match. I mean, I really want more for the cruiserweight division, because, like, it could be such a better show than it actually is. It's just, I don't know, there's just something about it that I can't get behind. I mean, I do kind of like Enzo as champion, but I just really wish that they would do a lot more with 205 than just kind of like treat it off as like some kind of, like, a lot of good talent gets relegated to 205 and misused. But I guess that's indicative of the current state of WWE now anyway, because there's a lot of good talent in the WWE that gets misused, and that's a trend that I'd really like to see change maybe sometime in the next year. I really hope we could see a lot of change sometime in the next year. I mean, the WWE has been doing pretty good, but they haven't been doing the best that they could be doing. And that's very, very sad in my opinion, because their current product could be so much better. They just really, really need to change how they use their talent. They need to change how their pay-per-views and stuff operate, because do we really need 24 plus pay-per-views in one calendar year? You're already watching 3 hours of Raw on Monday, 2 hours of SmackDown on Tuesday, 1 hour of NXT on Wednesday. Oh, not to mention, what, 205 Live is like, what, an hour long too? Also on Tuesday, so that's another 3 hours of content on Tuesday. So that's already like 7+ hours of content, not including when you have a pay-per-view that has an hour pre-show, a 2 hour pre-show. The pay-per-view itself being 3 to 4, 5, 6+ hours long, especially if you're WrestleMania, where you basically just have to dedicate the whole day to just watching WrestleMania. But that little tangent aside, I can expand on that a lot more on an actual show. But that little tangent aside, Raw wasn't too bad. I apologize if I got anything mixed up or anything, because I can only go on reviews and what little clips and stuff I see, because I don't currently have cable or anything, so I can't actually go very detailed into my assessments of Raw and SmackDown, but this is kind of like what I take away from it. So take that what you will, but I'm trying to do my best with what I have. So just, you know, cut me a little slack if I get a few things wrong, and I'll try and make some corrections in the future if need be. But for the most part, I'm trying to just you know, assess the product as well as I can without actually watching the Monday Night Raw, especially since I work a hellish schedule, so it's very hard for me to actually watch Monday Night Raw. It's very hard for me to watch Monday Night Raw, like, you know, either as it happens or, you know, just to sit down and actually watch a full episode of Raw, because a 3-hour Raw is very, very long, and as much as I love wrestling, I start to lose a lot of interest watching 3 hours of Raw. So in the future, if I ever actually get cable, or if I watch Hulu or something, and I can make more detailed assessments of the shows, I'll try to do that. But right now, I'm just trying to get used to doing the recaps, and I'm trying to get used to, all in all, just talking better. I apologize if I have a lot of ums and likes, and I'm trying to just, you know, talk as fluidly as possible and make as much sense as possible, but sometimes I walk around my words and I stumble on them, and I sound very, very awkward. So, you know, I'm new to actually talking about anything, so hopefully you guys don't mind that. Just, you know, keep listening, and I'll definitely get a lot better the more I do this. So, you know, keep it tuned. That was your Raw recap, and we'll go on to SmackDown right now. All right, so on to SmackDown. So the show begins with Shane McMahon coming out and calling out Daniel Bryan to explain his actions as to why he did not fire Kevin Owens like he had been instructed to. And Daniel instead made a match, which Shane actually applauded, for Kevin Owens to fight Randy Orton as the main event of SmackDown last night. But Shane barred Sami Zayn from ringside, which isn't a bad idea, but I question this idea. Why did Shane make it a no disqualification match, even though Sami Zayn was barred from the match? Because you can say that Sami Zayn is barred from that match, okay, but by making it a no DQ match, what's the consequence for Zayn? Like, if he does interfere in the match, because you can't disqualify him. It's a no DQ match. So I don't understand what that's. I guess that's just one of the weird things that the WWE does, because they have a lot of weird choices that I've come to question sometimes, and sometimes my head hurts because I question some of these things, and like I said, I just don't know what they have to gain by saying Sami Zayn is barred, but this match is no disqualification. So, like I said, what does that really accomplish here? But Brian goes on to defend Owens and Zayn, saying that they did what they did in the name of competition and grabbing the proverbial brass ring. And if they were fired, they would have just ended up on Raw, which is a very true statement. And I'm sure Stephanie McMahon would have loved to have gotten her hands back on Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. But, and I'm sure Shane would have been very much happier to get rid of them onto Stephanie, but Owens and Zayn do provide a lot of talent, and that would be a lot of talent lost on SmackDown if Zayn and Owens went to Monday Night Raw. But, you know, that promo was actually pretty good. I was actually pretty impressed with how Daniel Bryan and Shane handled their promo. And they planted the seeds for some dissension between the two as commissioner and general manager, showing that they're not always going to agree with each other's decisions, which is actually pretty interesting. So, I can't wait to see where this goes any further. Let's see. Da-da-da-da-da! The New Day versus Shelton Benjamin and Chad Gable. The New Day defeated them. Shelton Benjamin and Chad Gable just feels to me like a... like World's Greatest Tag Team 2.5 or 1.5 or whatever, because you technically have Shelton Benjamin. You're just missing Chad Gable's just filling in for the part of Charlie Haas. Like, although on my SmackDown game, or my not my SmackDown game, my WWE 2K18, I've been calling them the Great American Tag Team, so that's kind of a little nod to the World's Greatest Tag Team, as well as the fact that they both come from American style gimmicks. But the New Day versus Shelton Benjamin and Chad Gable match was actually pretty interesting, especially when Woods hit that missile dropkick on Gable. And a hot tag to Kofi would ignite the New Day's comeback and subsequent win for the match. But once Kofi gets tagged in, they hit the Great American Tag Team with a backbreaker double stomp combo to score the victory. This one is actually pretty interesting. So the Bludgeon Brothers decimated the Hype Bros, and Mojo Rawley, like, flipped on Zack Ryder. I think it could be very, very interesting to see what they do with Mojo Rawley as a heel. That guy has a lot of energy, and that guy has a lot of tenacity, and, oh, just the idea of him being a heel. You can do a lot with that. Excuse me again. I had breakfast earlier, so pardon my hiccups / burps. But anyway, on to that. Or no, enough of that, I should say. Yeah, Rawley was like intense and unrelenting as he just unloaded on Zach. Oh my god. Like, I love the idea of Mojo Rawley being a heel. And the Bludgeon Brothers gimmick, I don't know how I feel about it. Like, it just looks like medieval Wyatts, and it's just very weird to me. I suppose I'll, like, grow, it'll grow on me the more I see it and the more I, like, try to understand it. But then again, if it's, like, Eric Rowan and Luke Harper, whom also fall to the WWE curse of being given only one name as Harper and Rowan, I don't know why the WWE does that. They really like just having their one-name superstars. But anyway, with those two being the focal point of the tag team, you're probably better off to not understand it, honestly. Let's see. AJ Styles fought a handicap match against the Singh brothers, which the Singh brothers got a little bit of a advantage because the modern-day Maharaja himself, Jinder Mahal, as Kurt Angle would say, pretty much gave AJ Styles an all-out pummeling before the match. And after they came back from commercial, Sunil and Samir double-teamed Styles, and Styles, being Styles, made a comeback and fought his way back into the match, even though Mahal hit him with a boot to the, or in even hit Mahal with a boot to the face. I like the idea of, like I said, to me the Singh brothers only equal one superstar put together. I mean, just because there's two of them, each one of them only equal half a superstar. That's like saying that Noble and Mercury were like separate superstars. I mean, you needed both of them together to actually do something. So to me it's not that hard to believe that AJ could realistically beat both Singh brothers at the same time. So a week after their debut, Ruby Riott, now with two T's, I will never understand why she has two T's in her name now, but Ruby Riott, Sarah Logan, and Liv Morgan team up to battle Charlotte, Naomi, and Natalya in a six-woman tag team match. And, you know, Natalya being Natalya just walks out of the match, leaving Naomi and Charlotte in a handicap match. A 2-on-3 handicap match. So, while the Riott squad isolates Charlotte and pretty much works her over, making sure that she could not make any hot tags or any tags at all to Naomi, the action further spilled outside the ring, where they set up the ring steps and sent Naomi crashing face first into the steps, causing the referee to call for the trainer. Charlotte, left on her own, endured the further pain and punishment from her opponents. Ultimately, group leader Ruby Riott scored the pinfall victory over Charlotte while medics immobilized Naomi and stretchered her out of the ring. They are also being set up to be very strong on SmackDown's end of things. And I honestly, I'm trying not to just discount them as, you know, just like doing the same thing Raw did. I really do want to see them. And it's interesting with SmackDown, because these are all fresh superstars. So, and I'm a big fan of Liv Morgan, so I really want to see them succeed. Aside from that, this match wasn't too bad, in my opinion. I saw a couple of clips from it, and the clips that I got to see, they were pretty interesting. And then you had Owens versus Orton. I didn't get to see a whole lot of this match, but I got the notification from the WWE Network that Kevin Owens defeated Randy Orton. I'll have to go back and actually watch this match. Like I said, I work a lot, so I don't actually have the time to sit down and watch Raw and SmackDown a whole lot. I do catch it when I can. But I hope that changes in the future, because I really want to do more detailed analysis of this product. I really do enjoy watching wrestling, and I just really feel like I'm butchering these recaps, but you know, I'm just getting started, so I have a lot to learn before I actually start making, like, you know, not terrible recaps. But I'll get better in the future, so just stick around, keep listening, and you know, hopefully I don't suck. But even if I do, I mean, tell me. I mean, I can only get better, right? Hopefully. I mean, as long as I don't totally just... I'm rambling, aren't I? Anyway, you know, keep it locked into Scoop Slam, and we'll grow together. Like I said, we're in a developmental period. We're in NXT right now. Right now, we're not ready for main roster, but we'll get there. We'll get there together. Just stick with Scoop Slam Radio and stick with me, and everything will be cool. Is Sean Daniels? Let me restart that again, if I can actually say my name. This is Sean Daniels signing off of the SmackDown and Raw recaps, and I promise I'll try and make better recaps as I continue to do this. But thanks for listening to the recap, and let's play some more music, because I haven't done that in a bit.